Wait, wait, you can't leave. You can't leave. First, Will, are you there? Okay, what did I ask you when we were talking about worship? I said, real men sing loud. Now, you got to be honest with me, brother. Were they real men? We could do a little better as the weekend goes on, right? Okay, okay, that's your charge. I said, you know, Will, he was asking me about worship. I simply said, real men praise loud. They sing loud. Okay, it is a miracle I am here. Okay, so you tell that story. I'm going to tell you my story. Guys, who are my muskie fishermen in here? Anybody, a diehard muskie fisherman? Anybody ever hear of Tony Rizzo? Okay, like Tony is like beyond legendary, and I'm not being facetious. He is beyond legendary. So real long story, but I'll make it really short. A year ago, Tony is a feisty 82-year-old Sicilian out of the south side of Chicago. He's got a big heart for God, and he can catch muskies like nobody. After a no regrets thing, we got together and we had this crazy idea to hold a true outreach. Like, to be honest with you, I didn't want church guys. Okay, don't take it personally. I didn't want you. So Tony and I got together, had breakfast, we hit it off, we called it Fishing and Faith Seminar. I had to do the fishing first, okay? And we threw Tony's name out there, and it got delayed. It was supposed to be in June, right, Pastor Josh? We had building, and it got delayed, and finally we did it in August. And let me tell you something, 225 people? It was an unbelievable night, and it was just a blessing, and 90% were from outside, and a lot of things have grown from that, but here's the miracle. Everybody's saying, Len, great job, great job. I walked out of that church that night. I said, I will never do that again. I will never plan an event at the end of the summer and let it dictate my whole summer, and then you call.
You're welcome.
You call me, and it's not just, and at first I thought it was one message. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what are you saying? Oh no, don't worry, you got it, you got it. Don't worry, you got it. So I'm excited to be here for you guys tonight. And I want you to get blessed, I really do. And I have spent a lot of time this summer, but God, never again, okay? But just a couple real simple things. This is what I believe. This is my goal for your outcome here. You personally experience the intimate power and the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm serious about it. That's what I've been praying all summer. That you're going to walk home and somebody's going to ask you, how did it go? And you're going to say, man, I experienced the living God. I've got a story for you. Hon, I got a story. Son, I've got a story. I mean, he touched me. I reached out and he touched me. And I'm going to tell you how that's going to happen. It's real simple. It's not about me. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not about me at all. Through worship, through the word, through prayer, through your playtime, meet somebody, encourage some. I've had two, who did I meet tonight? Just raise your hand real quick. I met two or three guys. We had great discussion, didn't we? Just awesome time together. Royal Rangers. Go Rangers.
Yes!
He's going to make it happen. Here's all you have to do the entire weekend. And this is what I've been praying. Blessed are they that what? Hunger and thirst. Now, you're going to get well fed here. I've seen it, okay? I have a little different dietary needs over. I have to ignore a lot. But I want you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And guess what God says? You're going to be filled. I'm just going to challenge you right now. If you don't drive away here Sunday filled with the Spirit of God, man. Guys, you're given an unbelievable opportunity. These people at Fort, they believe in what they're doing. They're excited about this. And the reason I committed is it was their excitement. They said, I said, yeah, yeah. Now, before we start, I do have to acknowledge something. I'm going to share a powerful story about my son, Sam, and the accident, and it's a powerful story. How many know something very tragic happened up at Lake Superior just like last week? Okay? I mean, very tragic. And it's a very similar. So I want us to pause, seriously. Because where that family is at right now, it's not where I am at right now. Okay, I know where they're at right now. So a father and his three children died in Lake Superior kayaking. And the mother survived, if you didn't hear the story. And it happened about a week ago. And I'm going to be honest, it really threw me off for this event a little bit. Okay, it was a little too much for me, the process at that moment, knowing what had happened there. So, Father God, we lift up this family. I know this, that your grace is sufficient. Your grace is incredible. And I pray for the family, for the wife, for both sides of this family. I believe with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind that you will be present as they process through this. Just bless this and bless our time tonight in your name, Jesus. Okay, first thing. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me. This should get you, after you hear this story, like you should be really excited to go out and share the power of Christ. Paul says, you know, guys, I've been a little beat up. But you know, everything that has happened, this whole story is for one purpose, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. End of discussion. That's what the whole thing is about. I knew that from the minute Sam left my arms. So how can you do that? Well, when the destination is certain, you know what? The challenge is, it's worth it. Somebody just shared about somebody passing away, and yeah, believe me, I have three sons. There's only one son I never spend a nanosecond worrying about, right? It's Sam. From the minute he's left my arms, I have never spent a nanosecond worrying about him. Okay? That can't be for me, can it? Okay, that's got to be from the Spirit of God. So let's get going. 1976, I was an agnostic. On a good day, I was an agnostic. Okay, basically, I didn't care. I had just graduated college, UW Eau Claire. I was 21 years old. I had got a teaching job up in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, and everything was good. I was dating a wonderful young lady who would become my wife of many, 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 many years and many, many, many more years. Everything was great. And then God started speaking. Guys, God speaks in five ways. Here's the first way he spoke to me. I've never seen a changed life. I saw a changed life. Didn't know what a changed life was. Let me tell you this story. It was 1976. I came home. I was living in Minocqua. And I had an older brother, my older brother John, 3 years older than me, and I always highly esteemed him. Because he was the firstborn, the high achiever. I was the secondborn, nice kid, but he's never going to do anything in his life. So here's my firstborn brother, just like plowing through life, right? He's getting the awards, he's getting the athletic awards, he's getting the college scholarship, he's getting this, he's getting that, and there's kind of lens, it's kind of moping through, you know. But I looked at him and said, wow. What an older brother. But it's the end of the 60s, and John made some bad decisions. Got into the hippie movement. Literally, got into the hippie movement. Dropped out of school, and I watched it break the heart of my mom and dad. It just tore their hearts. And I watched him just kind of become like this low-life hippie. And I'm just kind of plugging away and plugging away. John's doing his thing, you know, just hanging out, hippie, hippie, hippie. And I'm just like, oh, he's just killing mom and dad. And then he goes off on this backpacking trip to Canada. And my mom hands me this letter and says, your brother found Jesus in Nova Scotia. And I said, are you kidding me? Another cop out. He said, oh, no, he loves Jesus now. And I thought, so I knew this. I knew in 76, my mom said, he's coming home this summer. And I said to myself, okay, when I see him, if he says the word Jesus to me, I'm just going to pop him. I'm going to say, okay, first you're a drug-smoking dope head, and now you're a Jesus freak. How else are you going to hurt mom and dad? I was all set. I was set. And we finally met. And he walks up to me and says, Len, so glad to see you. Congratulations, you graduated college, you got a teaching job. And he just was like all these wonderful platitudes, and he never said a word about Jesus, didn't say one word about Jesus. And I looked at his eyes and I thought, wow, I had never seen Jesus' eyes before. I'd never seen the joy of the Lord. And I thought, something happened to him. What happened to him? I got to find out what happened to him. I said, okay, found Jesus, I'm a history guy, I love reading, I'm going to get a Bible. I'm going to get a Bible. I know people have told me you can't read the Bible. It's too hard to understand, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to get a Bible. Found a Bible. Started reading the Bible. Started reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Started teaching. I was single. It was literally 45 below zero up in the Northwoods back in the 70s. How many remember those years? Okay. Sat in that cabin. Teach all day. Come home. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I am like loving it. Now, catch this scenario, guys. 1976, the winter of 76, 77, single guy sitting in a cabin, hungering in the Word of God, a big heart and the Holy Spirit. No, this goes on for 2 years. I'm just reading, I'm carrying the Bible around like it's a great novel. I didn't know you weren't supposed to, okay? I'm just walking all over the place with this Bible. Every chance I get, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then I get invited on a backpacking trip up into the Quetico. About the 77, the summer of 77. And I experience, you know when people say, I experience God in nature? Believe me, you do, okay? The heavens declare the glory of God, correct? The firmament shows his handiwork. I mean, you do. You experience, and I will never forget being 32 miles into a wilderness area in my canoe and just marveling at the creation of God. And it's doing a deep, deep, deep work. So God speaks through testimonies. You all have a testimony, amen? Use it. It's powerful. God speaks through the Word, right? Can I get some amens? Amen. God speaks in nature, correct? And then all of a sudden, man, Jesus shows up in my heart. Like, I'm falling deeply in love with Jesus, and I don't even know it. I'm like, I'm following this guy. He's going to be like, they weren't using the term life coach. I'm like, he's going to be my life coach. And then I read, and the Word became flesh. And it dwelt among us. And it's just, it's doing a deep, deep, deep work in my heart. And one day, I'm driving into work. I'm listening to an old B.J. Thomas song, What Kind of Man Would Wash Men's Feet, Get Pushed Around, Turn the Other Cheek? I want to be just like him. Man, the fountain of tears is pouring out. The Holy Spirit fills. I pulled that car over and I said, that's it. I am following you every day of my life. I'm giving my life to you. There's no other person I'm going to follow. It is Jesus and Jesus only. And God started doing this work. At that point, I put a transfer of trust. I said, it's not going to be Len Larson doing life. I'm doing life through Jesus. Then Len Larson doesn't have to worry about life. I'm just doing it. And I love this scripture. So pop up a couple times. But this is true with me. You see, I had a heart of stone. You could not have chiseled anything through it. Okay? It was literally a heart of stone. You couldn't get to me. And all of a sudden, what happened? Man. I had a heart of flesh. He put a new spirit in me. Let me tell you, my wife came to faith. We started having kids. I was living Job 29 as better than Job was living it, okay? When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me. My steps were washing cream, and the rocks gushed olive oil for me. I mean, I was just so blessed. It was so easy, Will. It was so easy to raise those hands and praise the Lord. I made a little ruckus in the back of the church, okay? Because I was a blessed man. Great family, great church, great Royal Rangers. I was encouraging my brother. 25, 30 guys, 30 young men backpacking through the woods. I was so blessed. I mean, look, what a blessed family. Look at those kids, how quick they grow. That is Sam, that is Dan, that is Joe, okay? And then they grow up, right? And they become high school kids, and they love their high school sports, and they do all those things. And then on top of it, I had all that fun. And I don't want to make anybody jealous, but that's my morning view. That's literally what I get up to every day, okay? And I won't even tell you what lake, but there's some really nice fish in that lake. And there's just not a lot of people that know that and go there. So, really, was that not a blessed life? Okay. And then on top of that, look at this family. Really? Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Father God. What a blessing. But, guys, here's what I've learned. Rick Warren says it the best. It's not about you. Guess what, guys? It's not about you. It's about what you can give. It's about how God is going to use your journey. Right? Seriously. It's not about you. So Sam's at UW-Eau Claire. Joe's at UW-Eau Claire, maybe transferring to Madison. Danny's about to enter. I don't, we're somewhere in there. But now we're in the fall of 03. Sam's playing college soccer, and everything is just going awesome. I'm at UW-Eau Claire. I get up on a morning glory walk. I'm just in. I mean, I'm walking the campus because Pam went to school there. I went to school there. It's just like sacred ground for me. And I'm in this morning glory walk just praying over the whole campus, and I'm just crying in my heart for a revival. And I walk by Sammy's apartment. It's too early to wake him up, and I point to his thing up there. I'm going to get you guys right now. And I point up and I said, it's exactly what I said, exactly what I prayed. God, use Sam to bring a spiritual awakening, a revival to UW. And I said this, I don't care how you use him. Use him. I want to see your glory on this campus. I want to see you use Sam, because this kid's heart, you couldn't get a bigger heart. So guys, this story is going to change. This is where the book of Job is going to meet the book of Acts. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened, okay? Because now it's going to turn into a book of Acts. There was a time of grace. When I say God spoke to me, God spoke to me. Up until that very moment of all this happening, I heard God like you hear him, right? Still small voice, through the word, through an encouragement from a brother, right? It was a beautiful, beautiful August 19th day. Sam and I had been planning this trip for a year. He was my adventurous soul. We left in the morning. I could go into great detail about this and all the ifs, but I'm going to skip all that. And we're both early risers, so we're out of the house by 6 in the morning. We get up to Myers Beach on Lake Superior to do a sea cave tour. Anybody ever do that or aware of it at all? Okay, so you know it. Yep. So we get out, and just a gorgeous morning. No white caps, kind of long, gentle rollers, nothing major. And we get out and we start paddling. We're dressed up. We got life jackets on. We got all the equipment. We didn't have wetsuits. We had thick Lycra, but we're set to go. We're about almost an hour into the trip, and then I could see the wave action changing. I could see the wind shifting, and I simply said this. Hey, Sam, I think we should probably turn around. It's probably not the best day to be out here, but let's just turn around. Real simple, buddy, just follow me. And I kind of turned into a wave, and I looked back over my shoulder, and I watched Sam. He kind of got caught in between two waves, and boop, kerplunk, into the water. Well, no big deal. We had everything. We were set to go. You know, I knew how to re-enter. He knew how to re-enter. But the weather changed really, really quickly. And things got bad very, very quick. You know, the sea caves are a beautiful environment when it's safe and when it looks like that. But all of a sudden, the waves got bigger, and we tried a couple different things. He couldn't re-enter. We tried the pontoon. That didn't work. He tried to grab onto mine. He dumped me in the water. Now we're both in the water. I said, Sam, let's just hold on to our kayaks. We're going to get into a cave, and we'll be okay. So we drifted up, but we didn't hit the caves. We hit the sheer wall, and we were getting hammered. I mean, literally beaten to death into that wall. And I grabbed Sam, I swam out, I said, listen, buddy, no panic. I said, let's just pray, we're going to be okay. We're going to swim this out, we're going to get away from here, and we're going to be okay. He said, okay, Pops, no problem. We said a short prayer, and we just started swimming. Now, Sam was an incredible athlete, 6'2", 165, but I had just turned 50, and I was more of an endurance guy. I was a cold water swimmer, I was a lake swimmer, I was a biker, a little heavier. We had all this stuff on, and I noticed that Sam quickly in water was starting to lose some strength. So I just grabbed him under my arm. I tucked him in. I did not realize how much the wind had shifted and how big the waves got. But I'm going to tell you this all honesty. There was never a second that I thought we would not get out of here. Okay? I knew we would get through this. And I just started stroking, and I just started paddling, and I just holding Sam right here. He was hypothermic by now. He wasn't responsive probably to me. He wasn't talking or anything like that, but he was alive. I knew we were going to get out. And then a wave grabbed me, and then I heard the voice of God like I never, ever, ever, ever in my life heard it. And he simply said, Len, you must go, and you must live for Dan, Joe, and Pam. You must go. And I was just in shock. And I went and I grabbed Sam. And I put him back in my arms. And I took another stroke. And I got hit again. And God said again, you must go and you must live. And a wave hit me and put me under the water. And I popped up. And I looked at Sam. And he was perfectly cognizant. He looked wonderful. And he simply said, Dad, I love you. A wave hit me again, and it knocked me under the water and kept me pinned down. And just for a moment, I finally realized that I was dying. My arms were ice cold, my legs were ice cold, and I just wanted to fall asleep. And then I popped out of the water, and God said, "You must go now, and you must live." And I started swimming around looking for Sam, and he was gone. I had a friend once said, "I would have stayed there and died with my child." I said, "I wish I could have stayed there and died with my child." But when the voice of God speaks, all of a sudden I started swimming. I didn't know, realize that later they told me you were swimming in the 4 to 6 foot waves, 45 degree water, and you had to swim a mile to 2 miles. You were in the water 4 hours. There's no way you could have lived that. And I just put my head in that water and I swam, because this is what I knew. I knew instantly. There was not a doubt in my mind. Sam was literally in the presence of God. God just spoke deep into my heart. He sent from above, Psalm 18. He took me out. He drew me out of many waters. He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And I knew I had to use everything I could to get through and to live. I got to the beach, and it was kind of miraculous because the wave action was so bad, it literally stripped the clothes off my body. And I had white Lycra pants on underneath, compression shorts. And some lady was hiking 100 feet up on a cliff and happened to see something shining and called the Coast Guard. And there's no cell service out there. When I pulled up, it took a couple minutes and the police were there. I could hear on the radio the Coast Guard going out, because my prayer was, when I got to the beach, I want Sam's body. I knew he was in the presence. And all of a sudden, I heard the Coast Guard and I heard they're going up there. And I could hear them talking. I could hear, "We found Sam. We're in the water. We have him. We got him out of the water. We're going to start his heart. We got his heart going." But I knew he was in the presence of God. They drove me to Duluth Hospital. I got there. The chaplain came up to me and said, "Len, what can I do for you? What can I do for you?" I said, "Listen, I want a private room and I want a Bible. Just give me a Bible. That's all I need. Just give me a Bible." He gave me a Bible. There's 32,000 verses. I just randomly opened up, and this is the verse that I read. "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless. He's upright, who fears God. He shuns evil." Now, anybody, you guys, that's all of us. If we're in Christ, right? We're clean. "Does Job fear God for nothing? But now, stretch out your hand, strike everything he has, and he will curse you to your face. Very well, then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Here's what you're going to hear. This is our personal family Job story. But it's about God's faithfulness in love in the most unbearable of all trials. I had to call Pam. I said, "Pam, something very serious has happened." I explained the situation to him. "You need to get the family. You got to start driving up." It was a very hard phone call. I said, "Hun, tell the boys that they have him and they're working on him and give him some hope. But I said, hun, I know he's with God." Pam started driving up. No cell service. She's just outside, 30 miles out from Superior. She said, it's her part of the story. She said, "I wasn't praying. I was just in deep contemplative, just letting the Spirit touch me." And then all of a sudden she heard God speak. Just like this. "Pam, Sam is gone. He is with me." And then I'm going to tell you this right now. My wife prayed one of the most incredible prayers. I believe every blessing that has ever happened from this incident came from this simple prayer. What kind of a prayer would a mother use at this point in time? This is exactly what she prayed. "Lord, I give to you my Sam, and I ask of you only one thing. You must be glorified through all this." As they got to the hospital, I had to tell Joe, I had to tell Dan, I had to tell Pam and some friends that brought them up what had happened. We were leaving that night. It was late. And the hospital chaplain said, "Len, I got to tell you something. I've been a minister for 30 years. God has spoken to me 3 times in a voice I've never heard in my life as strong." I said, "Dave, what has he said?" He said, "I haven't told you because I don't think it's encouraging." I said, "Dave, just tell me what God has said." 3 times God has said, "Dave, you tell Len Great seeds of blessings will flow from this. Great seeds of blessings. You know, it took me a while to realize it as I've gone through these last 14 years, but I want to celebrate one thing right now, because you know what you guys are to me? When I go home, you're a great seed of blessing. You're the prophetic answer to that prayer. God said there will be great seeds of blessing. Guess what? You're the great seeds of blessing right now for me. This is a blessing for me. This is an acknowledgement of everything God has said. So I got home, and there were 70 kids at our house in 24 hours, and 120, and it was just packed with everybody, and kids came from everywhere, and I'm writing his eulogy. And I'm struggling. And I said, you know, God, I know Sam is in heaven. I do not doubt that one second. But my last memories of him, and they weren't bad, is not how I want to remember. It's exactly what I prayed. I said, God, I want to see Sam in heaven. I want to see him there. I want to make sure it's just as glorious as I thought it was. Show me Sam in heaven. And then I thought, oh, we got these rules. We can't peek in. And I said, no. I cried a little bit, and then I said, no. It's exactly what I said. You will show me Sam in heaven. I walked out into the kitchen. There had to be hundreds of pictures on the table. Sam's brother Joe, and they were like twins growing up, comes up to me, hands me a picture, and he phrases it this way. He said, Dad, do you know where this picture was taken? None of us have ever seen it before. And he hands me this picture. First thing I saw his arms lifted up. By the way, we need a few more arms lifted up tomorrow morning, okay? I saw those big arms lifted. He had a span, man. I saw those arms lifted up. And then, look at that smile. Look at that smile. Whoop. Is that me or you? But what you can't see, he's standing on a mountaintop, are his eyes. His eyes are just full. Should I check that connection down there, or you think it's up there? Right in this box? Guys, give me a second here. Maybe that was it. I was so blessed. I crumpled to the floor, and I didn't start crying. And Joe said, I'm sorry. I said, no, guys, no. I asked God to show me Sam in heaven, okay? And God just did. By the way, somebody made cards up. If anybody wants one of these are all over the world, literally. There's thousands, 2,000-3,000 of these out. I have them up here in a box. Feel free to take it. My name is not on here, just a prayer, a scripture that God gave Pam, and they're up here, and you could pray for this ministry. They're all over the place. I run into people all the time. Let's just pray for this real quick. Father, I just ask you to just touch the technology right now and just really bless everything, just to make sure we can go forward in your name, Jesus. Amen. 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 So when we get to the eulogy, I remember writing it, and I started the old what ifs, right? What if, and I stopped right away. I stopped right away because God spoke. And he said, Len, the only what if you should ever ask yourself is, what if you did not have the life, the death, the resurrection victory of my son to give you the hope of eternity? Guys, really, is there any other thing? That was it, literally. I've got the what ifs never. That was it. That was the end of them. I said, that's it. I've got Christ. That's it. And then we started celebrating his life. And people came from everywhere. They came literally from everywhere. We showed up to the funeral parlor for the wake. I didn't know what to expect that night. I grabbed Pam's hand. As we walked in at 2 o'clock, I said, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, thus saith the Lord. 1,000 people came and stood in the rain. And my wife was beyond angelic, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable what was happening. Here's what this was all about. I'm just going to talk off of here. If we can get that going, that's where we're going to get going. I hope it all works out, but I'm just going to go from here. It was a celebration of God's hope and love and Sam's life of faith and service. Two things. It was a life of faith and service, but really, It was the truth of God's grace, mercy, and love. And man, did we celebrate. We just praised God. We had a wonderful time. I'm going to tell you, at the service, at the funeral service, there was over 1,000 people, and I have A to Z. And I don't know about you, but the way I roll, I have friends from A to Z, from atheists, agnostics, to holy roller zealots, and everything in between. Because that's just how I roll. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not a club guy. I just like to be all things to all people. And you want to know something? Like father, like son, like son, like father. Okay, you're going to hear more of Sam's story about his ministry and how he ministered. Because here's what happened there. It was such a powerful anointing of God's Spirit. People came in with what? Pain and despair. But that didn't last long. They left with hope and peace. I will never forget this. This is a dear friend of our family, almost like a surrogate grandpa. He said this, I felt so good after the service. I felt guilty. I'm going to tell you my greatest moment in life spiritually. And I will never forget this moment. It'll be etched in my heart the rest of my life. It was in the middle of my eulogy. I had my pastor read an email that Sam had written me about his faith. Because I knew I probably wouldn't do it. And as he was reading that, in the middle of my son's funeral, at 23 years old, right out in front of me, I'm having this glory moment. I was literally in the presence. It was just such the most beautiful thing. That's the power of God's grace. Because you see, all we live for are these seven words. Well done, my good, faithful servant. Amen? Amen. That's it. There's seven words to live by. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Soon after, I was down at UW Eau Claire because Sam had way too many friends. And they all came up. And they came up and I made, Rick Warren's book was out, Day 6, Life's a Temporary Assignment. Don't get too attached. I printed 100 copies. I had them in my front yard. And I'm just like sharing it. And these guys are just drinking it up. And I'm sending emails at night. And finally, they said, Len, you got to come down to UW Eau Claire. We're really hurting. Can you come down? I said, yeah, what do you want me? Just preach. Just teach. Do something. We need you. I said, well, get a hall. And they call back and they get the science auditorium. And on a Sunday morning, about early October, end of September, Pam and I drive down and I preach a message. I preach this message. We ought to lay down our lives for our friends. And the context of this message is Sam gave his life for you so you could have a life of faith and hope in Jesus Christ. It was just an incredible time. We're in there, and believe me, it's just pouring out of our eyes, right? Afterwards, there was a soccer game, UW Eau Claire against UW La Crosse. That year, Sam was the captain of the team, MVP from the year before. I mean, it was like, it was his team. And I go up, and I'm sitting in the bleachers, and I got kids all around me, and everybody's feeling good, and I'm like, where's Sam? Sam should be on that field. Where is he? And I'm like, wow, he's not coming out on that field. This is too hard. Can't do this. So I got up, and I walked away. And I walked all the way to the corner of the field. And I'm looking at that field, and I had a vision. I've never had a vision in my life. I had a real vision. I didn't see a soccer field. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I saw young faces. Guys, don't take it personally. I didn't see old ones, okay? But I saw young faces, maybe yours, but young faces, and they looked beautiful. And I saw all colors in all tribes. I saw everything. I looked to the north, south, east. Everywhere I looked, I saw these beautiful young faces. And then God spoke. And he said, Len, the second you are in heaven, this will all make perfect sense. I've never let go of that. God is in control. All things work for his glory. I walked away from that. As we went on, we got the kids, we got Joe and Dan in school. We kind of progressed on. I've suffered from chronic lower back disease. Anybody else in that club? Okay. You name it, I've had it. I don't have a thorn in the flesh. I've got titanium rods. So to keep me from becoming puffed up, a messenger, I'm just full of metal and I'm full of things and I've been on the edge for 30 years. Finally, about 4 or 5 months after Sam had passed away, I was trying to get to 30 years of teaching. My body just shut down, okay? And then Job chapter 2 comes in. 6 months later, my body says no. I was given a leave of absence. So look at this. I have no job. I have no career. I have chronic pain, and I have no Sam. Now I'm getting chapter two of the whole thing. So my superintendent was outstanding. He says, listen, we're going to put you on a year sabbatical. This is what we want to do. And I'll never forget that first day of school started in September. I was just distraught. I loved what I did. I couldn't imagine. I'm taking a little walk in the morning. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I heard his voice again, and he simply said, Len, am I not enough for you? I knew it was going to be an incredible year, and it was an incredible year. 05 was a year of prayer, trust, and love deeds. My life verse, first verse I memorized, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and guess what? Some of them? Most of them? No. All. Guys, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? All. All things will be added. I said, guess what? This year, I'm just going to go do Jesus. It's going to do Jesus. I could talk about all these things. First thing, I personally handed out 225 purpose-driven life books that year. How many have ever read Purpose-Driven Life? A lot of hands. It's been out. It's still good to read. I wrote Rick Warren a letter telling him what I was doing, hoping to get a free case. Okay, he didn't give me a free case. He only made like $50 million off of it. I got a nice letter from him. Okay, but no books. I was going everywhere. And you know what happens when you go through something like that, no matter where that person is on their journey? Remember, my friends are A to Z, right? They want to learn from you. They want to hear a little bit about your journey. But I can talk about so many of these things. I get a call that year off from a buddy that's working Habitat for Humanity. He said, Len, I just came from this lady's house and her 14-year-old son committed suicide. I told her this, there's only one person you can talk to and that's Len Larson. I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, she's thinking, can you get there by 10? It was 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, God bless you. No, serious, Len, she's really hurting. I walk into the house. These are the first words out of her mouth. I'm a Buddhist, so I'm supposing you're here to tell me I'm going to hell. And I said, no. I'm coming here because I lost a son, and I want to share my journey with you. All I can tell you, it was almost out of body for me. The Spirit of God descended in such a beautiful way. We spent a couple hours together. God just touched and God just healed. It was an incredible, incredible experience. I have all sorts of stories that I can talk about what happened that year and that time after, but I want to push on. I want to talk about Ted Voigt, who was a basketball coach, and I was at Lakeland, and he came up to me one day, and he said, Len, I admire your faith. And I said, Ted, it's not my faith that's getting me through this, okay? It's Sam's faith. It was Sam's faith. Let me tell you, like, one of the coolest stories of this whole thing. So about a month or maybe 6 weeks before Sam passes, Pam and I, he never came home from Eau Claire anymore. That was like his town, his domain. He owned it, you know. But he was good, you know. So I said, geez, it was mid-June. I said, we haven't seen Sam. Let me give him a call. Hey, bud, I'm going to come down. It's Saturday night. How about if Mom and I leave early? We'll come down. We'll go to church together. He said, oh, Pops, that would be great. Jeez, Pops, haven't been to church much lately, but I need to get there, and I got a great church. Let's go. Come on down. So we drive down, and we go to Harvest Time Assembly in Eau Claire. And, you know, dads, do we kind of wonder how our kids are doing on their journey once in a while? Okay? Yeah, we do, right? So I kind of had this list of things that maybe I should talk to him about and stuff like that. We get into the service. I'm standing here. Sam is standing here. And Mom is standing right here. And the worship team is going, Will. And all of a sudden, This Is the Air That I Breathe starts playing. And they just start worshiping. And I'm just like in a worship fog. And I look, and there's Sam with those big, long arms. And this is the blessing right here, guys. I see this one tear of joy coming down that left cheek, just rolling down as he's lifting his arms and his voice. God is a spirit. We must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And I said, man, it is well with my soul. My son is in a good place. And do you think I needed that moment for the attacks from Satan after he passed? I guarantee I needed that moment. Okay. Sam's theology It's about as simple as you can get. Love God, love people. Theology 101. Guys, if I heard one story, I heard 100 stories. And he was kind of a Jeremiah 29:11 kid. In other words, he spoke purpose and hope in every life. Everybody I ever talked to said, you know, and this is what Sam figured out, and I've really passed this on to myself. We kind of look at each other as people, and they all got a soul. But Sam didn't see that. He saw souls wrapped with, like, all sorts of skins and shapes, and he never saw that stuff. I mean, there's quite a variety here tonight, just so you know, from my perspective, okay? And that's how Sam did life. I mean, he just saw everyone. And he knew there was a plan and there was a wonderful purpose. But maybe out of all the things ever said, this just showed up a few years ago. This is why I can do this. Can you imagine getting this comment on a social media post? All of our lives became better the day we met Sam. Do people know you that way right now? Is Jesus pouring out of your pores so much like, wow, I just got to be around this guy? I mean, he just empowers me. He guides me along my journey. Okay? Sam was a 23-year-old college kid. Life wasn't perfect for him. I had my questions about certain things, but this thing I knew. 1 John 2, 5-6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Sam, in his own way, was a Jesus freak. His friends will tell you that. Oh, boy. I had to talk to a lot of people. God really empowered me to do it, but there were two people that I didn't know, I couldn't say a word to, and that was Joe and Dan. How do I tell his brothers? I can't tell them these things, right? Don't worry, all things work for the good. I just couldn't do those. I couldn't scripture quote them. I'm going to talk a minute about our kids. Here's all I will tell you guys. Pray without ceasing and trust God. And tomorrow I'm going to touch on that a little bit more about praying for our kids. Two things. You pray without ceasing, and then you just trust God. Pray without ceasing. And then just trust God. Here's what I said to the boys. By divine purpose, Dan had transferred to Madison that year. So when Sam passed, they had 1 week before they had to go to school in Madison. So we had to make a decision. Do you stay home and take the semester off, or do you go to school? And we sat down and said, guys, I mean, I could see you could use 2-3 weeks, but I think you should go. And they said, you're right. And I said, this is the only thing. I said, guys, this is too hard. This was my word of advice. I know you're going to be hurt and angry, but here's all I ask you. Try to go make a little baby step forward in your spiritual walk. Just try to go forward. That's all I ask. And I watched them do that. I watched them get down to Madison. Both Dan and Joe started at Black Hawk in Madison. Great church, okay? I watched them make commitments. I watched them grow. It was really exciting. Here's an incredible picture of Joey getting baptized the year after Sam passed away. What a powerful thing. And I watched Danny get baptized a couple years after that. I watched them go. But then my Dan, I saw things change in him. I saw him, why God? I saw the pain of life. I saw the loss of his brother. I saw other things in life that I didn't know what he was dealing with, that he was dealing with. It's a picture of Dan last year graduating. He's an incredible soul, incredible kid. In 2010, he came home. He said, Dad, I'm going to tell you something. My entire life, I've had one goal, to become the son that you and Mom want me to be. You've been such awesome parents, even through all of this. And then he said this to me. He said, Dad, I'm gay. God must hate me. And I said, no, Dan, God does not hate you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knits you together. Dad, I said, I've asked God 10,000 times to take this away. Why doesn't that happen? I said, Dan, I love you. And I just started kind of taking him gently through John. I love John 4, the Samaritan woman. so ashamed of herself. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He simply said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And then I took him to John 9, and I rest so much in John 9. Because you see, the blind man, everybody thought either he was full of sin or the parents were full of sin. And Jesus simply said, everything is for my glory. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. It hasn't been an easy thing, and this is a whole other journey to talk about at some other time, not now. But I will tell you this. When God says, I will take care of Dan and Joe, I can trust Him to take care of Dan and Joe. So let's get human with this story, because I want to talk about the pain, the raw pain. My best friend was Joe. I couldn't even talk to, I had nobody to talk to. I couldn't relate to people. I couldn't relate to my pastor. He was a little afraid. Some nights I literally stayed up all night and read Job. And I love Job. Let the day perish I was born. Man, I hung on that one for a month. Okay. It's like, okay, how about today? You know, why did that ever happen? You know, oh, if my sorrows and troubles could be weighed, they are heavier than 1,000 seashores. I found so much solace in Job. It was like him and I were just like communicating. My hopes have disappeared. My heart's desires are broken. My eyes have grown dim with grief. My whole frame is but a shadow. I can't wait to get to heaven for a lot of reasons, but I know one of these is going to be like this. Hey, get out of my way. Get out of my way. Hey, Len, I'm Job. Nice to meet you. Seriously, I'm excited for that time. I know that's going to happen. But guys, here's what I'm going to say about all that pain. We all have a cross. By the way, that's a cool sight. If you're ever get in St. Germain and you want to get blessed, stop at Sam's site. Okay? That is just a beautiful sight. Because guess what's there? It's the power of that cross, right? When Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect. When he says, my grace is sufficient, that's the power of that cross. There is nothing in this room. Guys, you don't want my cross, and guess what? I don't want your cross or your cross or your cross, because His grace is perfect for your cross. He makes that cross that you can carry it and go on. He's going to give you enough grace to carry that cross. Guaranteed. Because, listen, there's no way I could be up here, right? Seriously? How can a guy do this? Because what did he say? My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, I want to tell you about that cross. One day I showed up at my house, and there was that 6-foot cross, all hand-hewn. I didn't even know it was coming. A good family member who's an artist with wood made that cross, and I literally picked up that cross, put it in my car, and I literally carried that cross across the parking lot, across that cemetery, and dug that hole, and stuck that cross in the ground. You know, it's very interesting. Two words, right? Jesus wept. I want to talk about the blessing. I got out of there. I got settled that cross in. That was kind of like my holy site. I'd visit there a lot. One morning, I'm leaving that site. I get into my car. I'm starting it up. I'm just going to tell you how I heard it. I heard audible sobbing and weeping. As if I would turn, there would be somebody sitting next to me in the car. I was afraid to turn. I turned and looked. Nobody was there. And then I heard the voice of God, and it simply said, Len, I am so sorry. I heard Christ weeping. My brother, when you go through pain, when we go through pain, I'm going to tell you this right now, God's there. Everybody says, where's God when all this? I'll tell you right now, He's weeping. He is hurting just like you're hurting. If you have a situation going on right now and it's causing you pain and you're asking, why, God, where are you? I'll tell you where He is right now. He is weeping with you. There could have been a lot of guilt, and guilt can destroy, correct? It can ruin your life. Some of you, a group this big, some are hanging on the guilt right now, and it's just hammering. I knew this right away. Okay? My punishment. People ask me about that day. Here's my Job scripture. My punishment is more severe than my fault deserves. I knew a lot of things about kayaking on Lake Superior. Guess what? I didn't know enough, did I? Okay? I mean, there's more. There's always more. But I wasn't going to let that happen. One night I was writing my brothers a letter. They loved Sam. Sam was the oldest male sibling in our big extended family. Everybody had a heart for Sam. And I remember writing this letter, and God spoke. And guys, this is a sober word. And God said this: Len, you had no control of that day. And then he said this: most men will only have their sons on earth. And then he said, but you will have Sam forever. Forever. He's home. He's here. He's in that heavenly spacious place. It was a little time after that. I was out on a prayer walk. I live in a beautiful subdivision. It was early winter. And I would get to this point on the walk, a little hill overlooking a little valley. And right there, every night, I would stop and I would pray this prayer. And tears would come down. And I would say, Sam, I'm so sorry. Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't know enough that day. One day I'm about to say, Sam, I'm so sorry, and I had my second vision. And I saw Sam sitting in a kayak on the shoreline of a beautiful lake, and he had that gorgeous smile on his face, and he simply said this to me: come on, Pops, let's get paddling. I just stared, and he had this most beautiful smile. I couldn't even tell my wife for 2-3 days. I said, Pam, I got to tell you what happened. I don't understand it. And here's what she said. She said, Len, I'm going to tell you what that's all about. Because the first thing you're going to do in heaven is you're going to complete that day just the way God had planned it for you. You're going to get the paddle that day. So what do we do when this suffering settles in, though? When do we do when we get a lifetime of sorrow? This ain't going away, okay? This is it, right to my last breath. You know, I'm carrying this one, and most of us have something. First thing I will tell you this is you must find comfort in God's Word. Psalm 119, 92. Unless your Word had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I had asked God one day, how come I'm making it? I shouldn't be making it. I should be locked up in a room. They should be putting drugs. And I happened to read Psalm 119 that night, and there it was. It was one of those neon light nights. You'd ever get that with the scriptures? Like, whoa, it's shining off my face. It's so bright. And it simply was, unless your word had been my delight, I would have perished. And God spoke. He said, Len, from the first time you picked up that Bible in 1976, and all that time you spent in the Word, I was preparing you for August 19th, 2004. Guys, the Word is powerful. It is a two-edged sword, correct? It can divide deep asunder. What does Jesus come back? What's the most powerful thing? That sword comes right out of his mouth, the Word of God. I can't begin to tell you how many scriptures, I'm so thankful I have them tucked away up here. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I cannot tell you how many times at night that I just meditated on that scripture and it put me right to sleep. God has not given you a spirit of fear, Len, but of power, of love, and a strong mind. The Lord is my shepherd. And just, guys, find comfort. And God, yes, it's good to talk to people. But your true comfort will come there. This is a hard one, but I'm going to tell you, surrender early. Embrace your calling. This is the calling for the Larson family. We know it. We all know it. Joe, Dan, Pam, we know it. Okay? This is my Abrahamic covenant. The Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of the country. So Abraham departed. You will be a blessing. We all have Genesis 12 callings. I had a great life up to August 19th, 2004. And God looked back and said, you know, Len and Pam, Dan and Joe, Sam, new calling. I'm sending you on a new journey. You're going to go into the wandering. But I'm going to tell you, here's the covenant promise. You will be a blessing. We've embraced this. From the moment Sam left my arms, I embraced this calling. And this is the key to it. Love deeds, man. Love deeds. Love others. You know what happened? You know what I would do on my worst days? On my worst days, I got out of the house and I just found somebody to love on. I mean, it could be the little old lady in the grocery store if it had to be. I don't care who it was. I'd walk Walmart and just kind of like, hey, how you doing today? Seriously. Because if I made it all about me, not a good thing. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. So we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. It's 4 years ago. It's March. I'm in a tiny little town in the southern part of the Yucatan. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want any more people showing up there, okay? This might be a clue. I'm at the Turtle Bay Cafe. I mean, I go there because I taught Mesoamerican history. I love the snorkel. I love everything about it. I love the food. I love the Mayan Indians. I just love it. It's like my happy, happy place. The Badgers are on a roll in basketball. I walk into Little Turtle Bay. They got a couple screens going. I'm sitting there. There's a couple here. The wife is here. That's it. There's three of us there. And we started talking. Hey, where are you guys from? Oh, Americans. Yeah. Where are you from? Oh, Wisconsin. Yeah, so am I. Very cool. I said, well, where are you from in Wisconsin? And they said, oh, Eau Claire. I said, oh my gosh, I love Eau Claire. The guy said, yeah, I just retired. I was a pharmacist up in Ashland for 30 years, but we retired back to Eau Claire. That's where we're from. I said, oh, it's so cool. I love Eau Claire. I went to school there, my wife, my kids, and blah, 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 blah. And then she says to me, she says, well, you know, where are you from? I said, well, I hate to say it, but I have to say Eagle River because not enough people know St. Germain, you know. And I said, you know, Eagle River, St. Germain. And she said, oh, she got a little quiet. Now, remember, there's 7.4 billion people in the world, right? And there's a lot of land, correct? Okay. Just want to make sure you know your geography. And she said, oh, I wonder if you know this family. I said, oh, I probably do. He said, well, they had a son that went to UW Eau Claire. I said, oh, and Eagle River? Yeah. She said, my daughter just thought he was the coolest guy. My daughter dated his roommate. She didn't really care about the roommate that much, but she just thought this kid was so cool and what a great guy, and everybody loved him. I said, oh, well, I should be able to know who that is. And then she got quiet, and she says, well, something really sad happened. He went kayaking with his dad on Lake Superior. And then the husband just interjected. He said, when I read that and I heard it had happened, I knew exactly what happened. Two or three times that almost happened to me. And, you know, and he said, oh, I felt so bad for that family. And then she jumped back in the story. She said, yeah, my daughter went up there. And she went up and spent like 4 or 5 days. And she came home and said, Mom, Sam's family is incredible. There were hundreds and hundreds. And she said, Mom, Sam's okay. Sam's dad got up there and explained faith and life and Sam's life and Sam's faith. Mom, we don't have to worry. Sam's okay. And then the lady looked at me and said, do you know Sam's dad? I really thought she was going to have a heart attack. I said, I'm Sam's dad. She just froze. She literally froze. And then the husband came over and he grabbed me. He was a little shorter and he started sobbing literally uncontrollably in my arms. And he just hugged me and he started weeping and he kept saying, it's not your fault. It was not your fault. This almost happened to me. And I'm like trying to process. I'm in the jungle. There's 7.4 billion people. I better think what Jesus wants me to do right now. And I said, who was your daughter? It's going to get better. Lara. Now, we knew a lot of Sam's friends, and Sam had a lot of friends, but that name did not ring a bell. I said, oh, okay, well, how's she doing? You know, I'm just like, okay, where's the story going? She's doing really well. She's got married. She's got a kid. And then I said, well, you know, how's your journey? How's life? So we shared some faith things, and we just shared that story, and I kind of got back, and I said, Pam, you won't believe what happened. I can't even begin to tell you. And she said, what was the girl's name? I said, Lara. I said, do you remember a Lara? She said, oh my gosh. I said, what? 3 days ago when I was packing for the trip, I went down to get some stuff. You know, Sam's room is not a shrine, okay, but we have stuff there. And she still has the basket of like 1,000 cards. She said, I happened to pick a card up. And I read this beautiful card, a friend of Sam's from UW Eau Claire, and the name was Lara. And I said, sweetie, God is a mystery, okay? But we just better start praying for him now. God has sent me on so many journeys. This is the northernmost region in Ontario. I'm going to say something to you. And I wanted to do it on a diagram, but I'm not going to. But I ended up as a paid public school missionary from Three Lakes for a week up on a Northern Ontario First Nations, totally miraculous event. Totally miraculous. We know all things work for the good. Now, you can see what's in her hand, right? They asked me to come up and talk to kids, and I said, I'll come up there if I can talk to all the tribal elders and their family, and I want to hold a feast. And they said, that's great, let's do it. So I got them all in this room, and I'm sharing this story with them, and out of the blue, I grabbed this magic marker, and I said, I put my heart on there. And I put a picture of my heart, and then I put a hole in the heart. I said, you know, when Sam passed, here's my heart, and that hole is as big as my whole heart. Guess what? That hole's never going to change. But you know what happened to me? My heart got 10 times bigger, so the hole doesn't take as much space. God is good. That young lady heard that story, got that card. She made me sit there for an hour. She said, you can't leave. I said, why? I got to go get Auntie. You stay right here. She went and got Auntie, brought Auntie back, tell her Sam's story. I said, where are you going? I'm going to go get my grandpa. Okay. She kept going through, but this is where I got deeply convicted, guys. This is a deep conviction for me. Neil. Nobody had a job. I was there a week. There wasn't a pop machine, gas. I couldn't spend a quarter there. Almost 100% unemployment, but Neil had a job. He worked in a safe house. But to get to the safe house, he had to walk 18 miles. And then he worked the night shift from 11 to whatever. And then he walked the 18 miles home. And then he had the next day off. And I'm like, ooh, hey, dude, do you want a ride? And he was like, yes, I would like a ride. As we're driving him there, I said, really, Neil, you walk this 18 miles? I mean, why do you even do this? And he got stern. And he looked at me and he said, this is my job from God. I prayed to God for this job. And I will honor my God by walking these 18 miles. And I was like, oof, good answer. And then I said, would you like a bike? I would like a bike. I got back to Eagle River, the Chain of Lakes Cyclery, right? I went in, what was his name? Perry. I said, Perry, what do you got in the back room? Because I'm buying you out. I said, I want a good deal, as many bikes as I can load in this trailer, because I'm sending them up. Because I met a kid with more faith than I'll ever have in my entire life. It was in the fall. I said, God, why such a hard thing? This is really hard. And God was speaking so profoundly to me. Guys, I don't have any questions. There's nothing. God answered every question. But I had a question one day, why such a hard thing? And this is the scripture that was pounding through my mind. I am not willing that any would perish, but all would come unto repentance. It kept coming through my mind, and I said, I understand that. I get that. But this is too hard. And by the end of the day, it was an all day, really a day of prayer, a day of fasting, just like a day of just somber feeling. And then he spoke. Right when I was coming up from the lake, he said, Len, if Sam would have died in a car accident, people would have been moved. And these were the words he used. It was the circumstances of the death that are tearing their hearts wide open, and it's their hearts I want. And I knew that the story was penetrating everybody's heart. I'm about to finish up, so stay with me for just a couple minutes. It was shortly after that, I had a dream. But I knew it wasn't a dream. I'm at that good age, because you know it says the old men have visions, the young men have... I'm kind of like in between, so I got them both, okay? I got the visions and I got the dreams. But I want to tell you about this, because I knew instantly this was not a dream. In this dream, I'm on UW-Eau Claire and I'm walking across the footbridge, but it was in vivid colors. I could smell, I could taste, I could see. It was absolutely beautiful. And I knew I was going down to walk down Water Street at a cafe and meet all of Sam's friends, and we were down for a visit. And I'm walking down there, and I'm about to cross the street. I'm at the cafe, and all of a sudden I look, and Sam is there. But I know Sam's gone. And Sam pops up from the table, and he sees me, and he comes over with this big, beautiful smile. And he says, Pops, it's awesome. It is so awesome. And I am learning so much. There is so much to learn, Pops. And he started talking to me about people he had met. And I kind of had this divine understanding of what was going on. And I grabbed him. and I held on to him, and I'm like squeezing him, and he's talking to me, and I don't want to let go, and I don't want this to end. He said, Pops, it's just awesome. And then I woke up. You see, Sam is literally living that dream, isn't he, guys? Amen?
Amen.
He is literally living that dream. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He's living it. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. I'm going to sum up this. God promised me all the blessings of Job chapter 42. First blessing. My ears, remember when Job said, my ears had heard of you? But guess what? My eyes, I've seen you. That is Pam and I on an anniversary date. I get up to Superior, not for any purpose other than the fact I want to go. Lake Superior wasn't the bad place. I still love it. I usually get down in my swimsuit and I dive in and I take a swim. This is what I do. Here's what Pam will tell you. I know God and I really know him and I love Jesus. Nothing else matters. I'm going to make it. And then the second part of that blessing. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. Now, I know I can't think that could possibly happen, but there's already a little Sam, and there's a little Wilson. And here came the ultimate blessing just 3-4 weeks ago. So Joe came up to visit and spent 8 days with the kids and said, Dad, I want to go to Lake Superior. Haven't been there, Dad, in a long time. I need to go to Lake Superior. So we got up there, and I took a swim, and Joe was walking around. All of a sudden, I looked, and I saw Joe just swimming out to the horizon, just swimming away, watching God healing his brother. And then he turned around and started swimming back. I turned around, and all of a sudden, I saw little Sam running through the water. He leaps into his dad's arms, totally unprovoked, and starts smothering his face in kisses. Let's pray. Father, you are an awesome God. You are an awesome God. I want to thank you for the journey of all these men. Every single one of them. I want them to be empowered this weekend in ways they never, exceedingly abundant beyond all they could even ask or think through Christ Jesus. That's what I believe is going to happen this weekend. I pray for the great seeds of blessing that have happened in the past, that are happening right now, and are happening for the future. I pray for my family and the strength they need as we continue to go forward. I pray this is holy ground this weekend. Keep everybody safe, but let this be some really sacred space. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. I want to end this way, and I'm not sure if there, I don't know if there's worship or not. That prayer room will be open. I can't remember if Jonathan is on tonight or me or whatever. If there's any needs, please. Okay, I'm going to talk about prayer a little bit further on in there, but please do not leave this place